For 13 years, writer and artist Julie Zicafus has been drawing, painting, and writing about wild birds from her 80-acre sanctuary in Appalachian, Ohio. Her latest book is Baby Birds, An Artist Looks Into the Nest. She discussed her art and her work with the Cincinnati Zoo's Thane Maynard.
Julie Zicafus, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Oh, it's an honor. Thank you so much.
Now, I'm betting that we probably have taken you off the trail or out of the swamp where you were off illustrating birds.
I was actually doing a ton of errands in town and tromping through a milkweed field that I've helped preserve to see if I could find any caterpillars.
Has it been a good year for caterpillars and monarchs?
Not here just yet. I saw two adults. I found no caterpillars, so I'm holding out hope that they're just late.
Well, their populations fluctuate up and down, but anywhere we can help establish habitat like your milkweed field and protect other habitat is a good thing. I know I always hear tough stories from Mexico.
Oh, yeah, I know. Those things have it going against them everywhere they are. We've got this beautiful meadow that I've been talking with the farmer about. He used to cut it just to make it look better in August. And I said, you know what? I know it looks rough, but that's milkweed and those are monarchs, so let's leave it. And so he's left it for the last like 4 to 5 years and after an early cut. So it's in bloom in August, which is ideal for ovipositing and nectaring. So it's many, many acres of milkweed. So I'm thrilled. I mean, there's some years when it's just full of worms. So I have hope.
Absolutely. And I love that story because sometimes conservation has to do with relationships. And because you know him and he trusts you, he's like, okay, we can do that. Versus if you showed up from the government and said, mister, you listen to me. Here's what you have to do with your field. Oh my gosh, there'd be a fight.
I phrase everything in, oh, it would please me so much if you would do this or not do this, you know. And because we're friends, and because he knows, you know, I'm crazy, but I'm a known crazy, that it all works out.
So tell us a bit about your work, because you're from here in Ohio. And of course, often people think, well, gosh, you know, naturalists, they don't live around here. They live off in Bozeman, Montana or somewhere like that. So tell about the work you do here in Appalachia.
Well, I'll tell you, Thane, I feel that my job is to observe, record, and share everything that I see. I live on an 80-acre sanctuary that we call Indigo Hill in the southeast corner of Ohio, right near West Virginia. I'm 18 miles northeast of Marietta. And from my studio here, I'm looking right now out a big bank of north-facing windows, and I've got a feeder set up, I've got a bunch of bird baths and a huge hummingbird garden, and I have been absolutely riveted to this drawing table where I sit right now because there has been a bobcat in my yard.
Wow, that's neat.
A young male, he is probably a yearling, and he is trying to get some of the squirrels that are coming in for the feed, and he is welcome to them.
Yeah, there's plenty of squirrels. What a phenomenal thing to see a bobcat, though.
It's incredible, and in fact, on my blog, Julie Zicafus on Blogspot, right now, there's a post up called The Best Thing I've Ever Seen in My Yard.
That is great.
With frame-filling photos of this exquisite cat. And, you know, it's a funny thing. I would be so nonplussed and mad if there were a house cat hunting in my yard. But this bobcat is welcome to whatever he can catch.
Absolutely. And, of course, not too far from you is Ohio University, home of the bobcats. So it's neat to hear there's some actual bobcats there.
You know, this is actually, I think, my fifth animal that I've seen in Ohio. I'm out a lot. I see them a lot. Well, I mean, that feels like a lot to me. But I do sense that we are in the middle of a population explosion of this animal, at least in my area, in our heavily wooded county, because I can't go out after a rain or a fresh snow without finding their prints. And that is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that is. And the fact that there is so much biodiversity here in Ohio, and as you said, particularly in southeast Ohio, and, of course, that's a different part of the state. It's relative to Appalachia.
Yes, I'm always careful to say I live in Appalachian Ohio in the foothills of the Appalachians, and it is a very, very special part of the state. I mean, I love this whole state. I'm wearing my I Love Ohio t-shirt right now, actually. But this part is really something else because it's got the wildlife diversity of West Virginia without the very, very steep sort of confining mountains. Mm-hmm. And it's got, you know, vistas and views, and I can't get enough of it. It's got everything I need. I just love it here.
Absolutely. Now, I know you have a new book out about artists and birds, but also you're an author of many books and other papers that I've read for years. And as you said, now with electronics, blog spots, and others, give us your take on where natural history interpretation is headed. Are people as interested as ever?
I am very, very energized by the intersection of social media and digital photography and sharing that happens in social media. People can get answers to their questions as to what something is that they've found and photographed in seconds, literally. And many of them ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I always enjoy helping people identify things because I love the fact that people are interested and have in their pocket this fabulous little wide-angle camera with which they can record things. To me, it's a renaissance. It feels like a great renaissance of natural history, interest, and knowledge. And, you know, it's amazing out there. And all you have to do is get out and make sure that you're in the middle of it and you see the most amazing things. I love being able to sort of field people's questions and comments and share things that literally they might not know or are out here. So I feel very hopeful that this will translate into a conservation ethos that will carry through into something meaningful.
And of course, there are lots of ways for people to kind of get involved, but I've found, and I know in reading some of your materials you must have as well, that nothing beats bird watching for getting started because it has so many early rewards. It's easier to find a bird anywhere that I've ever been than it is to find any, say, rare mammal or rare reptile.
Sure, yeah. Mammalogists must spend a lot of time being frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to see them so often, you know. And herpetology is another great entry. But yes, birds, they're adapted to being around us, and they're colorful, and they make noise, and they're hard to escape. So it is a wonderful intro. There's also the whole aspect of maintaining nest boxes for birds, which
mm-hmm.
I've been doing since the early 80s. And taking someone out on your nest box trail and putting a baby bluebird in their hand is a powerful thing.
Another nice thing, and I'm sure this is true in your area, even though you're out in a rural area, there are lots of natural history centers, nature center parks, and bird groups and nature groups that folks, if they're just getting started, they can connect with people who'd be delighted to share everything from how to use binoculars to what they're looking at.
Yes, absolutely. Field trips, morning walks, that kind of thing. It's you know, it's around. We live in a comparatively sparse area of the state for avid bird watching, but there is a little clatch of people who do it and like to get together. We have a little event at our place in mid-October, the Big Sit, where we invite friends over to sit up in our birdwatching tower on top of our house and see how many species we can see in 24 hours. It usually winds up to be about in 12 hours, you know, because we don't stay up there all night. But it's a lot of fun, and sometimes we can push 90 species, even on a mid-October day.
That is great. All right, I have to ask, because I read sometimes about challenges, though, in the form of whether that might be coal mining or it also might be fracking. Are those things that affect your area in Washington County?
Yes, yes. In fact, we're seeing a great influx of people, hotels being built, white trucks parked along the side of the road. And right now in my area, they are running seismic testing. They have the sensors all strung along all the roads, even my most beloved little dirt roads. And they will soon bring these huge white vehicles that pound the earth and frighten everything away.
Mm-hmm.
And those sensors will pick up sound waves that tell them where the oil lays in the shale. It isn't something I'm thrilled to see, and it's not something that I can stop, and it's not something that anyone can really fight here because there's so much to be gained.
Mm-hmm. It's that friction between human needs and conservation and wildlife needs, and yet if there's anything, Julie, that I think has been a shortcoming of all of us interested in conservation is we've let people think that it's somehow just about saving peregrine falcons or eagles, when really having a clean enough river for us to drink out of is actually to our benefit, not just to eagles' benefits.
Yes, and, you know, I love this saying also, the time to conserve something is while it's still common.
Mm-hmm.
And I really passionately believe in that. Yeah, sure, there are a lot of bluebirds around, but if I weren't out there, you know, maintaining the houses and making sure they had a safe place to nest, there wouldn't be near as many. And, you know, just looking at it on a habitat level where you provide diverse habitat for everything, that's really, really what we're trying to do here on our preserve is plant for insects and pollinators. And then, you know, amazing things happen. You get a bobcat hunting squirrels in your yard.
Exactly.
23 years later.
Well, that's neat, though. It really is. You're the Wendell Berry of Southeast Ohio.
Oh, my goodness. I would never aspire to that title, but I'll try it on. Thank you.
You bet. Well, Julie, thanks for taking a little time with us, and have a great late summer and fall.
Thank you very much, Thane. It's been my honor to talk to you.
You bet. Bye-bye. My guest has been Julie Sikafoos, naturalist from Southeast Ohio. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.